It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show. Morning early here on a Saturday morning on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. We are ready to go, ready to talk some sports, and just hoping that you'll tune in like you do every single week, and we always appreciate that, so thanks for taking some time this morning. Let's welcome in the rest of the crew, Seminoleville and Terminus Eric. Guys, how are you?
Doing great. Ready to roll.
What's up? What's up?
Yes. You know what? It's just everything is even more condensed now into our show because once again, and we say it every week, we sound like a broken record. I understand that, but we have 1 hour, and now that football is really starting to be in full swing, and we're actually talking about action that's taking place on the field, we just got to keep the pedal down, Seminole Bill. I need you to continue to run, sprints, and I'll just keep on throwing bombs to you. Okay, how about that?
Sounds like a package. There we go.
Now, my question, though, is that are you able to run those sprints? Have you been listening to our fitness tip that comes at us every show in the last segment? So are you sticking to the fitness tips at all?
I'm doing my best, and there is a little weight reduction, yes.
Okay, well, there's a little weight reduction. Good. We need to get you down to about your playing weight. What was your playing weight in when you were playing in college, what was your playing weight for sports?
In high school, we was like 175, 165.
Okay, all right. When you were playing a sport, different sports in college, what was your playing weight?
Probably
185. Okay, yeah. So we need to get you down around 2.
Yeah,
200 pounds would be you can run
circles around.
That's fantastic. How about we do that? Get me there next week. That'd be fantastic.
Well, right.
We do have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of stuff to get to. A lot of good news and some bad news when it comes to the NFL and former Florida State players. And in our second segment, though, we will touch on what's going on with the Florida State football team. And then in our third segment, some of the bills we do every week, we have a Buccaneer report, which is awesome, and we'll dive into what's going on in Buccaneer camp and how Jameis Winston's doing the first preseason game. You and I have to recap now, and I'm sure we have a different view on it than the rest of the nation. And then we'll preview the upcoming game against the Bengals, which will take place Monday night. And then in our final segment, as always, we have our entertainment, which is great, our entertainment segment, Fear of the Walking Dead coming up, and also Hard Knocks, and then our fitness tip and our water check. So, man, I'm already out of breath, but I'm in good shape, so let's rewind. Let's get back to the first segment. And when I mentioned some bad news, and we always talk about appropriate things right here, what a shame, Seminoleville, for Kelvin Benjamin, former Florida State receiver, national champion, best rookie wide receiver last year, went over 1,000 yards, caught the most touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Cam Newton's number one guy, and he goes out with a torn ACL, and it was nobody even touched him. And it just blew out. That's awful.
Yeah, one of those freak things that happens every now and then, and it's unfortunate for him, especially because he was on track to do great things this year. They really were going to – I mean, he was going to be the it guy in terms of the downfield attack. It's just a shame. Cam's going to have to really get used to not having that big go-to guy right now, and don't know how that's going to fit for their scheme because they don't have a lot of – quality receivers, to be honest with you. They have Benjamin was
well. No,
he was the star, in terms of
absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. He was a good guy. And he also opened up passing lanes for other guys because people start talking about different coverages and double teaming, things of that nature, sort of trying to take him out of the game. So That's a big loss for them, and we wish him well, and just like we would with any other person that went down. We have to see him, speed recovery, and at least back out there next year.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know what? I was talking to my brother, your former roommate up at Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were talking about Kelvin Benjamin, Kendall, my brother, he brought up a good point. He's like, well, ask Simo Bill this. And I said, yeah. He goes, it's weird when injuries like that take place. He goes, because, well, we never played at Kelvin's level. I get that.
Right.
But, man, we ran around an awful lot. We played an awful lot of sports, and we played it, you know, pretty much 5 days, 7 days a week. And I never once knew of anybody that suffered that kind of injury. And we weren't even, you know, we're playing stupid too, I'm sure. But I never remember anybody in, like, just running around like, oh, there goes my knee, or, oh, there goes my ankle, and I'm done. Do you recall anybody like that? Like, how that happened?
You know, on the field, it's just, I don't know why it's different, I guess you would say. Only because, and this, it goes back to a few things. You wonder how the programs are. You remember there was 1 year when FSU couldn't stop having injuries.
Yeah.
A few years back and then the years before, you get in some type of, I don't know, weird hets, if you will, you feel like. But everybody's going down, or certain positions are going down, and you're like, well, what are we doing on our strength and conditioning? What are we doing? You know, what's going on there? Is there something that maybe you didn't do in the offseason, or maybe it's just, you know, like you said, just bad luck. It happens. For someone to do that in a practice drill, very surprising, because you're really going through the motions and trying to,
yeah,
you know, get there.
And as an athlete, you're in great shape. You know, it's not like that you're just being silly that you got off the couch, you started running sprints and making hard cuts. I mean, these guys have been training, and it's kind
very,
of weird.
Very
and going on to another Seminole that will be back. Carlos Williams, who had an opening good game for the Buffalo Bills, didn't play on Thursday night because Carlos is out. Heck, all the running backs on Buffalo is out pretty much. But he'll be back if he's correct, Seminole.
Yeah, that's my understanding. They're evaluating him, but it looks like he should be back. And, you know, again, what you just said, it's weird. It's like certain positions you see that. Running back, you really see a lot of things, whether it's ankles, whatever. Lineman, you see ankles.
Well, because you're getting hit.
You're
right?
Getting hit, right. You're getting popped every time. Quarterback's getting smacked, like what happened last night to RG3, you know, the night to RG3. That, you know, you expect to get some injuries. So, you know, his preseason, what was it, Thursday game, I'm sorry, when he got knocked around there, and it happens, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, but you know what he is, though, brother? You know what? He is a track athlete,
yeah,
playing in this world of guys, and he's just not built for it. I don't care. I have enough evidence in front of me now that he's not built for the NFL on any level, mentally or physically. He should be a wide receiver, and then maybe he could stay healthy, because all he has to do is run fast down the field, and I'll pray nobody pounds him. But being a quarterback in this league, he's built like a Ferrari.
Well, that's the difference,
you need to be built like a Hummer.
Right. That's the difference. What you just said there, Mark, is so true. That's the difference in the different levels. And, you know, his system of doing things when he was back at Baylor, I mean, it's a different ball game to be able to spin around as a college athlete, you know, a la Tebow, or, you know, running, being able to run over people back. But you just don't do that at this level. You're not going to last very long, unfortunately, if you don't know how to get away from people or make people miss.
Yeah,
if you're going to run, you know, just.
And you got to be thick, Bill.
You
know, somebody mentioned that. You know, I mentioned that Griffin's like a Ferrari. Well, Andrew Luck's like a Hummer. I mean, he has big, thick legs. And you know what? I heard the other week, the quarterback for the Raiders, Carr.
Yeah.
Not David. David is his brother.
Right.
I can't remember what his car is. Maybe it is David Carr. Whatever. The rookie quarterback. He was, or now a second-year quarterback for the Raiders. But he's saying this. He goes, man, he goes, when I was talking to my brother, I remember saying, I don't even remember getting hit as much as I did, yet I'm so sore. And what he was saying is that in college, sometimes a game would go by, Somerville, he wouldn't even get touched.
Right.
He goes, this is pretty much every other snap. For the most part, somebody's putting their hands on you. Maybe just a push to knock you down, but still you're getting hit, and then you'll get hit and blasted a few times that will rock your world. And he goes, that's on a game-by-game basis. So you're always, you need to be built, and you need to be tough. And that's why someone like Jameis Winston is built for the NFL. 6'4", 230 pounds, a thick kind of dude, not some skinny little guy standing back there. Right. That's why. And also, you need to know, and I'm sure you could shed some light on this, you need to know how to get hit. You often mention how Emmitt Smith would run, and you never really got a clean shot at him where you just blasted him. Same way as Barry Sanders. Russell Wilson, same way. And then you got RG3, where it almost looks like he always gets that bad hit every single game.
Russell's a good example. Russell's not a big dude.
He's
way undersized for most NFL quarterbacks, and that's why people didn't think he could make it, but he is very intelligent about the way he gets out of the pocket and what he does. I mean, you're right, what you said, everybody's going to put a hand on you. And the defenses are trained, if they can't, you know, physically get to you, those defenders, you know, linemen, outside rushers, whatever's coming, they're going to try and get a hand on you. They're going to slap you, whatever they can do to just let you know that they're there. And a lot of times those pops, whether it's Dominic Sue or somebody hits you like that, I don't care how big you are, you're still going to go down, and you got to learn how to take that. And you know, you watch quarterbacks get hit and get rushed and get hurried and get sacked, and you can tell you never really get comfortable getting whacked, but I mean, you learn to figure out how I'm going to make this a softer landing than the normal, because you don't want a guy coming on top of you as much as possible. You don't want that. You don't want, you know, if you get hit or knocked down, you want to kind of move with it to where you don't hurt yourself. You don't try and throw an arm out this way or leg out that way. It's a lot of little things you do, even though you're not thinking about them, they just become reactionary. But you better do them where you're going to get, you know, you're just not going to last very long in the NFL if you don't.
That's a proven fact. History has shown that. And also, though, with the Bills, real quick, Ronald Darby had two interceptions.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All right. Some of the Bills. Coming up in our FSU segment, which is the next segment, I wanted to get to it in this one, but we'll touch on it in the Florida State segment, is that a list came out of college football player arrests over the last 5 years. And I shouldn't be shocked, but I always am, is how many SEC schools are in the top 23. Yet it seems like the only school in the country that anybody cares about that gets in trouble is Florida State. But folks, wait till you hear this list, and I'll read how many players have been arrested and where these teams rank. All that coming up next, right here on the Mark Woods Show. Stay with us, folks.
This is Seminole Bill
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show, and we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event, every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93 FM. I'm Mark Lloyd. We are also the home of the Buccaneers. Our Buccaneers report is coming up in just a little bit. Some of the Bills in the house along with Terminus Eric. And now it's time to talk a little Florida State football. But some of the Bills, before we went to break, I teased everybody with college football player arrests, the record over the last 5 years. Now, if you just took a snapshot of the country from the national media. When it comes to colleges getting in trouble, who would you think would clearly be the leader?
Well, I mean, based on what everybody said, it should be Florida State, because we have made headlines, and you can imagine.
Yeah, and it's just Horvath coming in to talk to the Seminoles about what they failed to realize. And they realized it. What they failed to report is that that's what Maurice Claret does. But the headline says Florida State brings in Maurice Claret, and then the next headline is Claret telling the Florida State players that they basically have to grow up. However, when I heard Claret on an interview, he also visited Alabama, LSU, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Kentucky, TCU. He visited 20 other colleges, but the only one that made headlines was Florida State, because they're the only ones that get in trouble based on the country. But now the Detroit Free Press came out with, they did the research, and they said, well, let's see who's really getting arrested out there in college football. Let's see who really has a problem with their university. Because maybe everybody does, which I always say that everybody does. And for the most part, if you're competing to win a national championship, you usually have some issues. And that's just the nature of the beast. So here's a top 23 list of the colleges with the most players that have been arrested over the last 5 years. So we're going to assume that Florida State should easily be number one. Well, no, they're not. Washington State is number one out there in the Pac-12 with 31 arrests over the last 5 years. So to me, they seem to have some issues out there, but I guess because they don't win, nobody cares. Number two, good old Florida. The good old Florida Gators come in at number two with 24 arrests, Seminoleville. Mm-hmm. And that's really bad because they don't even win anymore, and they're still getting arrested.
But you
would never know it, though. Number three, another SEC school, the Georgia the Bulldogs, with 22. I never hear Mark Richt's programs running wild, running rampant with thugs and players getting arrested, but they're third on the list with 22. Number three, tied with Georgia. How about that? Texas A&M, another SEC school, with 22 arrests. But once again, Sumlin, he's running a clean program. Never hear any problems with Texas A&M. Yet they're third on the list with 22 arrests. Number five is Oklahoma with 21 arrests.
A former SEC coach.
That's right. But Bob Stoops. Here's what's funny about Oklahoma. I don't hear anything about all these different arrests. What I heard was a whole race issue that went on there. And then the Joe Mixon disaster, which he's still on the football team, yet Florida State kicked off DeAndre Johnson. But 21 arrests with Oklahoma. Number six is Iowa State with 20. Tied with Iowa State. Oh, how about this, Somerville? Two more SEC schools, Missouri and Ole Miss, each with 20 arrests. West Virginia comes in tied with 20 arrests. So we have to jump all the way down to 10 before Florida State comes in at 19 arrests. So they're 10th, yet the nation portrays them as number one easily, and then there's the rest of the country that's doing okay. Also is Tennessee with 19 arrests, tied with Florida State. And what's so interesting is that it's almost been swept under the rug, the Tennessee situation and the six or seven players that got accused of sexual assault. There's all kinds of issues going on with Tennessee. Well, Maurice Claret comes and talks to them, but nobody cares. And number 12, or number 11, really, is Alabama with 18 arrests. So there's Alabama right there. And, oh, by the way, guess who's tied with Alabama? Kentucky. So another SEC school. Number 15 with 16 arrests is LSU. With 14 arrests is Arkansas. With 13 arrests is Auburn. Out of the top 23, there is 11, Seminoleville, 11 SEC schools.
Gee, almost got the whole conference.
That's right. I actually had to double check. I was like, gosh, who is not in there when it comes to that? Oh, and by the way, Mississippi State is right there at 12 arrests. So they're doing their best to get in there as well.
They're climbing the charts.
I have not seen the story get picked up. Why? Why? Somebody tell me why.
Well, the SEC marketing machine is not going to
not going to praise and laud their schools for this type of behavior. It's just not going to happen. So you aren't going to see that, we'll be like Michigan used to be, and I'll say the name, that bald guy talk much about that. But you know what I'm talking about. He won't mention these things because it is not his forte to speak about the digressions of the league.
That's right.
He's such a gentleman.
Well, which once again, on the ACC and the ACC marketing machine when it comes to college football for their conference, sucks. Just sucks. Basketball, they do great. Football, they're awful. I guarantee you that if this was 11 ACC schools, that the SEC would have been pushing this out all over the place over ESPN. I didn't even see this report on ESPN. And it's just a joke, some of them.
The good news on the ACC is you only got, even though we won them, you only got two schools in the top 30 of that list. Okay, excuse me.
Yeah.
Us, Pittsburgh, and then if you want to go down to 33, you got Syracuse. So say what they want,
you could take away Kentucky probably, so the SEC, and you could take away Syracuse because it's not the football players that are getting arrested there. It's more of a basketball thing, I'm sure, outside of football. But I guess that's the silver lining. But here's the thing, though. This is what bothers me, and then let's move on, is that nobody's saying Florida State is perfect. There's no denying that. And I've always said that there's always going to be issues. You got all these kids. You got a lot of kids with a lot of egos. Big man on campus. All that stuff. It happens. My problem with the country when it comes to Florida State is that they get put at the top of the pedestal like they're the only ones that are getting into trouble, and that's just wrong. Why not say, hey, every college out there has issues. Some a little bit more than others, but for the most part, if you're competing, usually you have some problems. There's some schools that do not compete and they're on the list, and I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing. But, Ohio State has 12 arrests. So they're right there. They're number 24 along with Nebraska, two more schools that are. So everybody has a problem. Just report it fair. But that will never happen, that's for sure. All right, let's talk some Florida State football. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you. It'll be reported that way.
Okay, so obviously one of the most important things that are going on with Florida State right now when they're practicing is that they're trying to figure out different things, obviously, when it comes to the team. But one area, obviously, with the spotlight on it is the quarterback situation, Golson against McGuire right now.
Right.
And how do you read into this is that Golson already seems to be getting equal amounts of reps with the first team. I'm not going to say I'm shocked by that, but I think there's something to that. That if he's already caught up that much, or has already caught up that much to Sean McGuire, that does not bode well for Sean McGuire. And that to me, says that Everett Golson will be the quarterback for Florida State when they open up against Texas State or whoever it is.
Yeah, I just don't see how, it can't be. Sean's in a tough situation. He just hadn't had enough time after, on the practice field, coach sees what goes on. On the big stage, everyone sees what goes on. And when it's on TV or, when you're playing a game and you're in the stadium. But you're talking about a guy in Golson that, threw for over 5,800 yards and plus, 40 TDs in two seasons at Notre Dame. The biggest knock on him was, he had some inconsistencies and some interceptions, but different system, different coaching staff. Flip it over. Now, you've got him over here, a new start, a new beginning, and he's excited about that, obviously, and going out there and doing everything he can to be the guy. And word on the street is he's coming along. So, is he the favorite? I don't see how I don't see how he couldn't be if you brought him in here. Just wouldn't be like, when Wilson went from North Carolina State to Wisconsin. I mean, did you really think that they were going to take him over there if they didn't want to really give him a shot? And then the same thing with Golson. I mean, it's a one-time shot to be the guy, you know, and it's based on, you know, where you're at in your career and if you have that ability. And I obviously think he does. You know, we don't expect him to be Jameis, but he does some other things differently than Jameis that may benefit this team as it gets its offensive identity this year.
I agree 100%. So I think that's kind of exciting. There's no doubt about it. I love especially in college. In NFL, I wouldn't want him. But in college, I love a dual-threat quarterback that can throw the ball. And it's just what is amazing is how people ask questions about Everett Golston and all these turnovers, right? It's really strange to me how somebody will ask a question, but really they've already had their mind made up regardless of what the answer is going to be to whoever they're asking. So when I asked Jimbo about all these different about all the turnovers that Everett Golston had, and Jimbo turned around and he said, well, you know, not all of them were his fault. Obviously, he had his fair share, but a lot of them are receivers tipping the ball up in the air, running the wrong route, stopping on the route. Maybe one or two times he got blasted from behind because the offensive lineman or the running back didn't pick up the blitz. And it's weird. Somebody asked that question, but they really don't care to hear what the answer is because they already have their mind made up that he's a turnover machine. And I laughed at that because I'm like, then why did you ask Jimbo the question about that? And then what that does, though, is it turns the nation views it as one thing. All anybody ever talks about with Golston is he's a turnover machine. But regardless, leading up until the Florida State game, which was a great game, but he was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and Notre Dame looked like they could possibly go on to beat it. If they were to beat Florida State, they were going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, let's just pick it right there. He had 14 turnovers this past year. Now, seven of those were over the last five games, and that was after they were kind of on a downswing. So, Mark, what I would ask you is, do you equate Notre Dame's passing attack with FSU's passing attack on a year-by-year basis? Are they the same type of passing attack?
Well, no. I mean, I guess not since Brady Quinn was there. When Brady Quinn was there, yes, but not since then. So you are correct, Somerville.
Okay. So in essence, what people need to look at is the kid trying to force balls into spots where there's no that to me is a little bit more. A decision-making process. Are you throwing in double coverage all the time? Are you missing your reads? Are you trying to force a ball in? And Jameis was guilty of that as anybody, you know, a few times. He had this gunslinger mentality. I'm going to throw it. But so was Brett Favre. I mean, so was Dan Marino. When you've got a good arm and you know you can fit balls into tight spaces or drop them in, you are naturally going to be aggressive to throw the ball. And that's just a learning process. And, you know,
You know what? I agree. And I'll take 26-0.
You know,
at one point in James' career, with one loss for the gunslinger. So I think anybody, if you polled the nation, I think everybody would agree. I'd rather have that than the guy that's apprehensive and not making those plays that can win. You know,
and we've seen that here with some of our old quarterbacks. And you and I were just talking about one earlier. You're a split second behind, that hurts you. You know, and I don't think Golston's going to be that. I think Golston is a smart, you know, mechanic-based guy that can also run. You know, back in the day, EJ could run, but I think Golston's going to be an even better runner than EJ was.
Hey, how about that option play, passing, throwing, you know, optioning it back to, or keeping it to Cook or Pender or Jacquez Patrick?
Oh, man.
Is that
a bad situation to have? That fits right up Golston's alley. He's got some good, solid, and even some big running backs back there that can help him. So
I guarantee you, Jimbo's licking his chops when it comes to that.
No doubt.
He's going to be very, very excited about that. Before we go to break, I got one more quick question. I want you to comment on the linebacker situation at Florida State, because we get, you know, people tweet us asking us about, you know, what's your thoughts on the linebacker? It seems to be a big concern on the defensive side of the ball. And at WorldChat.com, I was reading an article this past week, the great website up there. So, but my thing is that they brought up a good point. They said, hey, that they've really developed some depth there now due to some of the injuries. Now, they're still not nowhere near where they'd like to be, but put some people's minds at ease, because you got Smith, you got Northup, you got somebody else that's in that position. Not as much as they like, but I don't think it's going to be as bad Maybe everybody thinks it is.
No, and with the tendency to play, you know, nickel and dime defense as much as FSU is, you know, hopefully it won't hurt them as much as it did before. And another year under the belt with the system makes the folks in there a little bit more reactive and better suited for the defense.
I got you. All right, so, Bill, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we have the Buckley Force. A lot of good stuff going on over there in Tampa Bay land. We're going to get to it. When we come back right here on the Mark Ward Show. Stay with us, everybody.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next Fun Fest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to Fun Fest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Time now for the Buccaneer Report. Each and every week, we'll come at you and we're going to look ahead about the next game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and, of course, recap what happened this past week. And now, the good news is that now they're actually playing football. So it's no longer talking about OTAs. It's no longer talking about what's happening just strictly in camp. From here on out through the rest of the season, since we are the home of the Buccaneers, this is the place to be each and every week for a recap and a look ahead to the Buccaneers season. And Somerville, we couldn't be happier doing this segment. Some Florida State players on the Buccaneers. It's our home team here on 93 Freedom. So it's going to be a lot of fun throughout the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a good time with it. And like you said, it's a time to take a look back and look forward to what's ahead for the Bucs. And right now, you know, they're in the mix getting ready for a new season with all these preseason games going on. And Jameis has one under his belt now. And, you know, like Marcus, there's some things he did good and some things he did bad, but he's going to learn.
Let's talk about that, Bill. Let's talk about that, Seminole. Jameis goes 9 out of 19 for 130-something yards. He runs in a touchdown, like he did against Oklahoma State. He also threw an interception. At times, he looked like a rookie. At times, he looked like Jameis. But what was so, once again, it shouldn't be shocking to me that the narrative throughout the country was, oh, my God, he looked horrible. And I'm going, really? Really? He looked horrible? And what, Mariota looked like he's the second coming of Joe Montana? What Jameis Winston showed everybody in that football game is, one, that the offensive line is still horrible and that he doesn't have a lot of time. So you need to be a quick decision maker. He threw the ball, he pushed the ball downfield at times, and once again he bounced back from a shaky early start where he's trying to get his feet on him. Remember, folks, these are the first snaps in a live football game that he's ever taken
at the NFL level. Right.
So, at the NFL level. So you got to cut a little slack here. They broke it down like, there's a good chance he's going to be a failure. And I'm going, unbelievable. Come on, people. Did you not see the throw to Vincent Jackson? How about him running in and the moves that he made to dive in for the touchdown? And I think Winston, as you and I know, is going to be just fine.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was a decent game for him. Because guess what? If he would have went out some of the ball, then I'll let you talk. If he would have went out on 18 out of 19 with a touchdown, wouldn't everybody be saying, "Wow, he's not going to be able to do that all the time"? So hold your horses. Let's not praise him too much. And I'm like, you're in a no-win situation, no matter what.
That's true. And let's just remember, as silly as it might sound, some people, first game for the Bucks overall this preseason, the second game for their opponent. I mean, sorry, but
yeah,
it does make a difference. all the jitters are gone, everything. You're going to get that. You know, it's a bunch of young guys on that team that are going to try and gel and give them time. They'll be fine. Like I said, you saw some things that you expected to happen as a rookie, and those things are going to happen as a rookie, and you just got to be, you know, prepared for it. That's part of being, you know, new to the league. But you also saw some solid things and some leadership qualities out of Jameis, which is what we want to see. And Coach Lovey's just fine with him, and that's all that matters.
I loved him after the game. And Jameis, he's playing the Peyton Manning card, the Tom Brady card, the Russell Wilson card, you know, in the press conference, where he's just great. Where he's like, hey, listen, everybody, calm down. And things will only continue to get better. Let's not jump to any conclusions. I had a great time. Every game I'm learning. So he just said everything correctly, and as he always has, for the most part. But so that was that game. And a couple of the notes besides Jameis that came out of this: DeMar Dotson suffered a left MCL sprain. He's the offensive tackle, which is bad news for a Buccaneer offensive line that's already shaky right now. So that's not good news at all. Good news is Quan Alexander, the rookie out of LSU, who's always been a star, and he was very good at LSU. And now he is playing so well that now he's first on the depth chart for the starting middle linebacker over Lane, who they brought in to play middle linebacker. Lane has been moved to the outside. So now you have Quan Alexander, which it's always good when you're building a team with some veterans and some young guys at the same position. Like the offensive line, if Smith and Marquette can be two good offensive linemen mixed with the veterans on the offensive line, that's such a good thing. With the wide receivers, you have a young Evans, you have a young Kenny Bell mixed with a Vincent Jackson out there.
Sure.
And a guy that, I guess, surprised me because he wasn't having that good of a camp, but really had a connection with Jameis, was Lewis Murphy, the former Florida Gator. They hooked up several times. I think Murphy caught over 50 yards in the football game. So that was a positive sign as well.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's like you said, it's just going to be a blend type, preseason for them. They're just looking to get some consistency. And I'll say this for the Vikes, they definitely kept them pinned, you know, the first half. They didn't get much good starting field position at all. If you're looking at that, they always were starting like, you know, inside their 20, it seemed, almost every time they got the ball back. So, you know, it's the way it was.
That's a good point.
I mean, you just got to look at the situationals and what he could do and what they let him do. And they let him play a half. And, you know, like I said, all that matters is the end of the day, Coach Lovey said that's what we expected, you know. So there you go.
And speaking of Coach Lovey, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, Senator Bill. Lovey Smith, the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so we all know that he is a defensive coach. You know, that's what he was, coming up as assistant coaches, and then he became a head coach. But what's interesting to me is that now he's taking over the play calling for the defensive side of the ball moving forward. He's like, this is not happening. I'm going to be now basically the head coach and the not coordinator, but play caller for the defense. And my question to you is that a good thing? Or is that a bad thing? Initially, actually, that's good because that's what he is. And if you think back when the Bears went to the Super Bowl with Lovie Smith to take on the Colts, that Bears defense was good because it sure as heck wasn't the offense by the Bears; it was the defense.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing for the Buccaneers if he's calling the defensive plays. I think it's only going to make the defense better.
I think it should. Over the long term, though, you definitely need to get you got to have somebody in that defensive coordinator slot that really mimics what the head coach wants for his defense. And if you're a defensive-minded coach, it's just like Spurrier being your head coach and him wanting to call players on the offensive side. You know what I'm saying? Instead of your offensive coordinator, that's what happens. You gravitate toward what you have taught. But at the same time, over time, your guys have to pick up on what you would be doing. They have to know that, hey, you know, in this situation, my coach would want this. Because as a head coach, you really can't afford long term. You can plug and play. You need to be able to plug and play, but you don't want long term that you have to sit there and be on one side of the ball all the time, because you need to be seeing the whole picture. That's your job, is overall the whole team picture, all three phases of the game versus just one particularly. But you know, for now, he's going to do what he has to do to make this team viable and a team that can win and play ball on the defensive side.
Well, the defense last year was ranked 25th in the league, so
right.
Hopefully they could only move up in the rankings. But let's look ahead. Let's look ahead some of the bills.
Yep.
Buccaneers' second preseason game will take place Monday night. Monday Night Football, which is very cool, at Raymond James Stadium against the Cincinnati Bengals. And what's kind of cool this past week is that James Waldron Jr. plays for the Bengals, and somebody asked him about Jameis Winston, and he had a great story. I don't know if you heard the story, but I wanted to share it with everybody. Is that he was just talking about how James just has a quirky personality, and that he's always very relaxed, even in the most stressful situations. And he told the story when Florida State was down to Auburn in the national championship game on the final drive, that Winston was joking, basically on the sideline, got into the huddle, and was joking again, saying, you know, and cracking up and everything. And Wilder was going, man, we need to get serious here. And James was like, man, we got this. We got this. We're going to go big. You'll see. We have this. Don't worry about it, James. And he goes, he's just that type of football player. And he goes, the next thing you know, he's leading us down the field and he's throwing a touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin, and we won the national championship. Right. And it was just great hearing that from Wilder Jr. about James's personality.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people will, and I think even James Wilder said it in the interview, he's got that goofiness about him that relaxes you. He comes in there having a good time, making you guys calm down so the pressure of the situation or the pressure of the play doesn't get to you. And that's really that's the quality of a good leader. There's only a few ways you can lead. You lead by fear, which is rough.
Yeah.
You lead by being a tough guy, or you lead by being that guy that just provides that calm, collect confidence. And Jameis is somewhere in the middle. He can say, hey, let's go. We got to move this ball, and we're going to take this down and stick in the end zone, and just say, you know he's going to do it. You know, you're not somebody else who's saying, oh yeah, right. You know, we got to go 99 yards for this winning score. No, it's Jameis saying, we are going to take the ball down the field, guys. We got this. No problem. Let's do what we got to do. Do what we know we can do, and let's win the football game. That's the type of motivational guy he is. Always has been from all the way from when he was a high school player all the way up, and so it is Jameis to a T.
Yeah, it really is. So looking at this game and from a 30,000-foot view, it's a second preseason game, Somerville. What are you looking for out of Jameis and really the rest of the Buccaneer team? I'm not talking about yards or – what are you looking for when it comes to Jameis to see if he's grown at all from the first game?
Just exactly what you said, progression. He should the nerves are gone now. You know, you're getting out there, and now you've gotten your snaps, and you've gotten some heat. You've gotten popped a few times. Everything's happened. You've thrown an interception. You've thrown, you ran for a touchdown. Now it's just all about relaxing, putting everything together that you've been taught, and just letting it come together naturally. Not trying to force everything. Just, do your reads, do your checks, be where you're supposed to be 100% of the time, and he'll be fine. I mean, I expect that. And on the defensive side of the ball, watch the guys tighten up a little bit. Let's see if we can, put more pressure on their quarterback, the Bucs had pressure on theirs this past time, and see the defense progress as well. If both sides of the ball are starting to make strides toward that, then, the Buccaneers, the fans can smile a little bit and know that this year should be a much better year. Definitely shouldn't be able to get much worse than last year.
So you mentioned, obviously we mentioned Jameis, but what I'm looking for too is that another guy, I mean, he's the defensive signal caller, basically. He's usually the middle linebacker, and if Quan Alexander, a rookie, is stepping into that position, what you like to see is them being in the right position when the other team is ready to go, for them being aggressive, and also for DJ Swearinger to continue to make progress and solidify the defensive backfield back there. And I think those are all the kind of important things. And really, one of the most important things, and it sounds silly, But it is true. It's, man, you got to stay healthy. They can't afford anybody on the offensive line to go down. You can't have that. They need to start building some continuity up front for games to stake if they want to be able to have them even have a chance to throw to Mike Evans, to throw to Vincent Jackson. And I'll tell you one other area coming to Bill that I would see improved. This is Tavarius Jenkins, the tight end.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The jury's out on this guy. It looks like he has the talent and everything, but he almost comes across as one of those guys that, you know, play. Maybe I won't play, or I'm going to try. Maybe that's just me. But sometimes when you look at somebody who has an awful lot of talent, that you're saying, you know, I'm not expecting you to put up huge numbers, but if you're not consistent on a week-to-week basis, then that's a you problem. That's a you problem because you have all the talent in the world, but you should be snagging 2, 3, 4 balls every single game. If you're getting nothing and not even heard from, then that's a you problem. And that falls back to I'm just kind of a lazy type of individual. I'm only in the NFL because I'm just so talented, but I won't be here for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. And if you want to contribute, now's your opportunity. You know, the slate's still clean, but you got to get out there and do capable of if you want to help your team do better this year, because you got to have all aspects going. Jameis was on in the college realm that used the tight end quite well and had a great one here that's now in pros. And we need to see that same production in, you know, now that he's with the Bucs. He's got to be able to have that other receiver in the mix when he's in there, when you got a tight end set.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back to the Bill, we're going to have our business tip, our water check, and also our entertainment segment. All that coming up here on the Mudbowl Show on 393 FM.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93. Thanks for hanging with us this early morning. Hopefully you have a great start to your Saturday by tuning in, as you do each and every week. The whole crew here, we do appreciate it. We tell you that every single week because we mean it. All right, a lot of stuff to get to in our final segment. We have our water check, and let's kick it off right now. We always know the importance of drinking water, so we always look back on the 24 hours, the last 24 hours, to see who has consumed the most ounces of water, and I am at 122 ounces, so about 5 or 6 ounces under 1 gallon. Our goal is always to hit a gallon. Boys, where are you at? I'm at 122.
Hey, I have you close, but I'm at 100.
100, not bad, Seminole Bill. Not bad, over 100 minutes. But here's the true test. Recently, Terminus Eric has been crushing you.
He really has.
When it comes to the water consumption, that is a good thing, and he's been feeling better. He's still not as lively and everything, but that's okay. I think he's still trying to get a roll on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes.
And he's a little disappointed that he hasn't yet. But coming to Sarah, come on, how many ounces are you at?
I got to disappoint you on this one, but 85.
Hey, you know what?
I'll take that kind of disappointment.
That's what? You know what that is right now? That's like football. That's like college football, some of the Bill. What Terminus Eric said just then. He said 85 ounces, right? That's right. So it's like national championship or bust now. So usually when you win 10 games, everybody should be happy, but nobody's happy. because we wanted you to win 13 games. So Tumnus Eric just drank 85 ounces of water, and we're like, okay, well, that's good, but you really need to have 120 ounces. So that's good. The level has been raised up. And so this will help
bar.
You, this will help you raise your water check level because you'll feel a little bit better, and that is with our fitness tip every week. And Simple Bill, I know you have a late-night sweet tooth.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
I know that.
Yeah.
So here's our fitness tip / health tip this week, is that it's late at night and you're a night owl and you're craving something, and boy, you'd love that cupcake or maybe a cookie or whatever your vice is. I don't know exactly. But I was reading and they said, you know what? Think fruit first because it's sweet and it does have some sugar in it, so it's not the best thing in the world to eat late at night. But how about maybe a couple slices of apple with a little bit of peanut butter on it, or a little bit of, a banana and some peanut butter, or some almond butter. I want you to give that a shot, some of the Bills. We try to get you down to football playing weight for this season, okay?
Okay. I'm going to try that one next.
Give that a shot. All right, now, time now for our entertainment segment. And Terminus Eric, it's a huge weekend. Fear the Walking Dead is coming out finally, and I'm pretty sure you wrote this about a year ago when you first heard a little rumblings, I think, through the casting networks and everything, that this show was coming out. Here we are. And it has been about a year, right?
Yeah, it's at least 6 to 8 months ago I remember seeing this, and I'm glad it's here. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it is. It'll take place Sunday night, 9 o'clock. It has a great cast. It is the prequel to the hit show, The Walking Dead, which we all love so much. And it's funny, some of the, there's so much buzz about it in Hollywood, amongst friends. I know up there in Tallahassee, where you guys are, I know Phil over at Ki-Fi, a friend of ours, a friend of the show, which you met, Seminole Bill. He's pumped up. Yeah, he's pumped up about Fear of the Walking Dead also. So it's good times. What it is basically, it takes place in L.A. now, too, for those of you that don't know anything about the show. And Madison Clark, Travis Manawa, I think is his name, Nick Clark, and Alicia Clark is kind of the main stars in this. And that's big-time actors, too. If you saw a picture of them, you know who they are. And I guess it's really from the very beginning when the disease starts taking over and nobody really knows what's going on. So it goes way back. Yeah, I guess what he's saying is, like, this is from the very beginning, but we're going to be really captivated. I guess that's what he's going to say no matter what. He's not going to say, actually, guys, this show's going to stop, but tune in anyway. So that's kind of silly. But I bet you it's going to get just a huge rating. And it will go for, I think they made 6 episodes, and it will lead us to The Walking Dead when The Walking Dead premieres in October. I'm pretty sure on October 11th. Make sure everybody tune in. You too, Simple Bill. I don't want to hear it. I didn't watch it.
No, I'm watching
okay.
this. I'm watching this.
Yes, you yeah, watch okay. that.
I'm catching now, up on some other things, but yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Now, the other show that is out right now that has to do even more with us and on the entertainment segment is Hard Knocks on HBO, which is just great. It's a great concept to take us inside what training camp is all about, have really basically no filter on what's going on at the training camp. So some of these guys try to make the team, some of the stars that are already on the team, what goes on during the whole training camp, how intense it is, how much pressure there is, and it's just great. And this past week, it was fantastic with Brian Cushing, who's a stud linebacker in the NFL, and just how people made, how he's like such a bully, because he is a middle linebacker, some of the villain. You know what those guys are all about. So this guy is, there's no BS, and he's ready to knock your head off every single play. And it's just really cool seeing that. And what was funny also is that they went to his home and how his wife tries to make him out to be like, oh, he's actually a really nice guy. And he's just smiling next door. After in camp, he's just bullying everybody. Like, he'd bump into you, right? Just put his shoulder right into you for no reason at all. Say, hey, man, I'm sorry about that. Then he'd turn around and look at you and say, actually, I'm not. I meant to do that to you. Just then. And there's nothing you can do about it because I'll beat you up. It makes you be saying to the guy. And it's just great. It really is. And he doesn't care who you are. You know, veteran, non-veteran, rookie. It doesn't matter. But it's a good, are you watching it at all?
I have been on and off.